be sure to friend us on Facebook. You can do it right now. Visit Facebook.com/Voice America or search for us at keyword Voice America.
The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit VoiceAmericaVariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit VoiceAmerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Sex Out Loud is brought to you by the Smitten Kitten, non-toxic quality sex toys and supplies. Visit SmittenKittenOnline.com.
Smart. Sexy. Kinky. Fun.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud with your host, sex educator, author, and filmmaker, Tristan Taramino. It's sex-positive radio like you've never heard before. Tristan talks about sexuality from every angle with leading authors, experts, artists, and icons. From sex education and sexual politics to BDSM and non-monogamy, nothing is off limits. So get ready to open your mind and expand your horizons. This is Sex Out Loud. And now here's your host, Tristan Taramino.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud. In August, I had the honor of attending Cine y Sexo, La Mirada Femenina, Mexico's first film festival dedicated to the promotion, study, and discussion of porn films directed by women. It was created and spearheaded by Mariana Palerm, and events were held at several local universities and theaters. It turned out to be a truly groundbreaking event, with 7 days of sold-out film screenings, lively Q&As with the directors, major media coverage, academic panels, and an unbelievable outpouring of support from audiences. During our time in Mexico City, I gathered together the invited filmmakers, Candida Royal, Jennifer Lyon Bell, Marit Ostberg, Ingrid Ryberg, and Leandra Dahl, as well as Abraham Castillo, the festival's programmer. And we sat down to talk about our experiences at the festival, our own personal philosophies, and the politics of pornography. I want to introduce one of my guests. Candida Royal created Femme Productions in 1984 in order to produce adult films that spoke from a woman's voice and could be entertaining while promoting positive sexual role modeling for couples to view together. She has written, directed, and produced dozens of acclaimed adult films for Femme Productions, which are distributed by Adam and Eve.
Candida, you are the matriarch of the feminist porn movement, and you began your production company in the mid-80s. So 25 years later, I know this is a big question, so you can just, you know, give us a piece of an answer. What has changed? What have been the most dramatic changes in terms of women behind the camera?
Well, honestly, I didn't see any changes for a long time. And just, I would say, in the last 5 to 10 years, all of a sudden, finally, they're really... I see young women coming out and doing movies. And by young women, I mean you guys and me being the matriarch here. And it's very encouraging. And I always say, it seems that it took the generation who were the daughters of my generation, you know, or close, somewhere in between. And you guys were the next level, the next generation. And now we're seeing women in also in their 20s, 30s, starting to come out and do stuff. Well, you guys in your 30s. But that's been really encouraging, because my idea has always been, you know, I'm starting it, I'm opening the door, and now it's up to you all to take it and run with it.
Alongside Candida is Jennifer Lyon Bell, a Harvard-educated erotic film director and curator living in Amsterdam. For her independent production company, Blue Artichoke Films, she writes and directs explicit erotic films combining authentic sex and art house production values. They have been screened all over the world at international festivals and cinemas in America, Europe, and Japan, and have won awards at both erotic film festivals and regular film festivals. Jennifer's films include Headshot, Matinee, and Skin Like Sun.
Jennifer, like Candida, you basically make narrative films, and so I'm wondering why it's important to you for there to be storytelling with your sex.
Well, I really like to engage with the people that I'm watching have sex. I want to feel like I got to know them a little bit. And one really great way to do that is to put in a story where you understand what's at stake for the characters who are having sex. I really like to know the people that I'm looking at.
So also a part of this conversation is Marit Ostberg, who is from Sweden and currently lives in Berlin. She made her debut as the director of Authority in the acclaimed porn compilation Dirty Diaries. Since then, she has directed two other films, Cher and Sisterhood, and become part of the queer feminist porn scene that has evolved in Europe in recent years. Directing and acting in work that pushes ideas of who and what porn might be for.
Marit, you directed one of the short films that's part of Dirty Diaries, curated by Mia Enberg. First, tell me about the project as a whole, what Dirty Diaries is.
So, Dirty Diaries, as you said, is produced by Mia Enberg. And Mia Enberg made the first lesbian porn in Sweden over 10 years ago. And after doing this film, she understood that nothing happened and no one took over and continued making this porn. So she started this project, Dirty Diaries, where she gave 12 feminist filmmakers a mobile phone to shoot a short feminist porn. And then I was asked to make one of these films. So before I was asked, I had never done a film before. And never worked with porn before. I had worked with sexual politics in different way. I was a journalist. I was a chief editor of a LGBT magazine in Sweden. So that's why I got into it. But also what is interesting with this project is that Mia Engberg actually got founded by the Swedish Film Institute to be able to make this project. So it got a lot of attention because of this. And the debate was about, is it right or wrong to give tax money to make porn?
And I think that might be the only example of a government funding pornography.
Is it so?
The film that I made called Skin Like Sun, Des Jeux Plus Bec La Nuit, which I made with a Belgian artist, Muriel Scher. We did it as a commission for a feminist festival in Belgium, and that feminist festival did end up receiving Belgian state money. So at first we were told not to say anything about it yet because we were full of admiration for Dirty Diaries, and we weren't sure how the Belgian and Dutch governments would feel fully understanding that this is where their money went, but it turns out that everyone's pleased to know about it. So I guess one of my films also, in a way, received state funding as well.
One other thing with this Dirty Diary project, it was really important for Sweden, I think, when it comes to feminist porn and sex-positive environment. And it may other filmmakers continue making feminist porn. For example, me, I continued making porn and I understood what an important tool it is to use when you want to work with sexual politics and empowerment for women and queer bodies.
So in many ways, Marit, Dirty Diaries wasn't just a collection of feminist sex films. It seems like it jump-started a bunch of Swedish filmmakers to go on and make more films like you did.
Yeah, totally. And also a part of this project was also Ingrid Ryberg, and she's sitting here beside me right now. She's a part of this team in Mexico. She actually wrote a PhD about lesbian porn and wrote about this project, Dirty Diaries.
And let me introduce Ingrid Ryberg, who is a teacher and postdoctoral fellow in the Department of Media Studies at Stockholm University. She completed her doctoral thesis called Imagining Safe Space, The Politics of Queer, Feminist, and Lesbian Pornography in 2012. The thesis builds on ethnographic fieldwork, including Ryberg's own participation as one of the filmmakers in the feminist porn collection Dirty Diaries.
So Ingrid, you want to jump in?
Yes, sure. I think also Dirty Diaries was extremely important in Sweden to bring these questions up on the table. And the project was interesting because the people who participated were activists, for sure, but also some were filmmakers, some were artists, some had never made films before, some were academics like I am. So it worked. It opened up this field in a lot of different areas, I think. And the films have screened a lot together, but also individually in a variety of contexts. It's been an interesting case to study because it has had such a wide distribution in mainstream contexts and in very sort of nice cultural contexts in Sweden. So, for instance, the Swedish Cinematheque, which is also part of the Swedish Film Institute, screened the film. So it's been in a lot of venues. I think it's mainly been in venues that have not been specifically dedicated to pornography or queer activism. So it has brought up a lot of discussions in a variety of areas.
So the final filmmaker joining us today is Leandra Dahl, who was born and raised in Great Britain and has lived in Melbourne, Australia since 2002. She made her amateur porn debut on the website ifeelmyself.com. She has appeared on the sites ishotmyself.com and Beautiful Agony, as well as in Erica Lust's film Cabaret Desire and Jennifer Lyon Bell's forthcoming film The Silver Shoes. In 2010, she started her own independent adult website, leandradahl.com. Leandra, what do you think you bring to the table as a performer who now directs?
Well, technically, I don't really direct my films. I just kind of set up the camera and lighting and then go, let's fuck, which is pretty easy. But I do intend to direct, which is why I've been looking for the privilege of working with directors like Erica Lust and Jennifer Lyon Bell, so that I could learn from people who were making such amazing movies, and hopefully I'll be able to bring their greatness when I do get around to making something that I'll release as a movie rather than sort of an online get your jollies off website.
Speaking of getting your jollies off, I want to thank my fabulous sponsor, The Smitten Kitten, a progressive sex toy store for everybody, specializing in high-quality sex toys and supplies. Check them out at smittenkittenonline.com and use the coupon code TRISTAN for 20% off. We're going to take a break, but there'll be more Sex Out Loud when we return.
The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com.
Enhance pleasure for you and the ones you love to love with Astroglide personal lubricants. Astroglide provides that extra oomph in creating a better and more exciting sexual experience. Astroglide's wide product range allows you to pick and choose based on personal preferences. All the products are also latex condom compatible, allowing for safer sex practices. Astroglide values the benefits of a fun and healthy sex life as part of a happier lifestyle, and so should you. For more information and a free sample, visit astroglide.com and get your sex life to blast off today.
This is Jennifer Pritchett from The Smitten Kitten. We're huge Tristan Taramino fans just like you, and we're so proud to be the presenting sponsor for Sex Out Loud. If you're not already familiar with Smitten Kitten, here's the deal. We're an education-based sex toys and supplies retailer. We sell high-quality, non-toxic, and artist-made sex toys, organic lubes, and all kinds of kinky stuff, including hard-to-find vegan options. We cater to an incredibly diverse clientele and specialize in helping you find new sexual interests, expand your sexual skill sets, and even troubleshoot sexual issues with you. We are here to help you feel confident and sexy. We spend a ton of time and energy curating our selection of products to make sure we have the best selection, be it silicone dildos, pegging and strap-on equipment, vibrators, or ethically made porn. Our mission is to make sex-positive culture accessible to everyone. Don't miss our free streaming explicit educational videos, many of which were directed by Tristan herself, on our website, smittenkittenonline.com. Get inspired by Tristan's amazing show, Sex Out Loud, and then visit us online at our Minneapolis location.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning expert guide sex education series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
Ask the experts. Call toll-free right now, 1-866-472-5787.
Hello?
And ask our all-star team to answer your question. That's 1-866-472-5787.
Thank you for calling.
VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at puckerup.com. That's Tristan at puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud. Today you're listening to a conversation between me, Jennifer Lyon Bell, Marit Ostberg, Ingrid Ryberg, Candida Royale, and Leandra Dahl, recorded in Mexico City during the first ever film festival in Latin America that celebrates female porn directors. We're about to be joined by the programmer of the festival, Abraham Castillo. Abraham graduated as a filmmaker from the School of Visual Arts, where he received the Dusty Award and the Directors Guild of America Award for Best Latin Student Filmmaker in 1998. He now lives in Mexico City and dedicates his time to editing films, teaching, and working as programmer of Morbido, International Film Festival of Horror, Fantasy, and Science Fiction Films. He collaborated with Mariana Palerm, founder and director of La Mirada Femenina. So, Abraham, I want to hear from you. How did this whole thing come about?
Well, first of all, thank you for having me here. This is the whole brainchild of Mariana Palerm. She's the one who came up with the idea, had the anxiety to bring these films to the Mexican audience. She knew they were ready, and she needed to start the discussion. It started, you know, small talking, dinner parties and everything. She started telling people, would tell her no all the time. And she would say, why no? Fuck you. No, we got to do this. And she started, you know, asking friends and if we knew someone. And through just hearsay, she started doing this little group of people who really believed in what she was doing. She showed us some of the films and we were knocked out by them, of course. And we said, we got to get into this. And little by little, we started this little group of people that knew other people. And eventually we made a really nice presentation of the project. We started going to the universities, to the embassies to look for funding. And little by little started. But I have to say, it's really all Mariana Palerm and, you know, her stubbornness and her belief in the material and the stuff that you guys do.
I think this room of women knows a little bit about stubbornness. I'm just guessing. Okay. Marit, what has surprised you most about this event?
What surprised me most is actually the awareness of all the people. Like, it's a lot of people attending to the screenings, and there's so much interest and so much relevant questions. When your film was screening yesterday, for example, I was sitting in the audience, and it feels like that these questions existed for a long time, because it feels like there's a ground from where all these questions comes from. And in these questions that people have, they almost always say, like, here in Mexico, we are so oppressed here and it's so difficult for us, and we don't have any space to deal with these questions. But in the same time, it's like they're so brave to sit in this room, all the people, and watch hardcore porn. And then deal with it in such a clever ways. I must say, I think that this is one of the most brave contexts I've been in.
glad you mentioned that up. It's at the beginning when we first started this and we started to asking for interviews and all the media exposure, everybody turned us down. It was really funny. Everybody, like all the major newspapers and TV outlets turned us down. It was only because small independent media outlets started picking up on us and they made one big interview, like a 1-hour interview for Marianne and myself. And after that, little by little, all the majors started asking questions. And they would first they started with inquiries and then they started writing out bigger pieces. And that really helped us out. But at first, all the majors didn't want to, you know, and this is more to Marianne's credit. She felt that people were eager to see this. She felt that it was time. She knew she had to push it, though.
Jennifer, you were at the press conference, which kicked off this whole event. And I'm wondering if you'll talk a little bit about that, because you interacted with a lot of these media people.
I was at the press conference, as was Marit and Ingrid, and I was truly surprised by how well attended it was. I've been to press conferences before, but there were, I think, more than 50 journalists there and a lot of television journalists. And the questions that they asked were pretty much uniformly respectful and relevant and thoughtful. And just the quantity of attention that we received, again, was very surprising to me. I must admit, also not being so familiar with Mexican culture, I sort of assumed that we would see more negative, purely emotional criticism or commentary based on religion. And that didn't happen.
I can only agree with you, Jennifer. I think the press conference was, I was really impressed that so many people came and that the questions were so good. People really had thought about it before. I am also extremely impressed by the organizers because it's evident that you've all been very, very brave and that you had to struggle to make this happen. I also understand that it is also a struggle during this very week. So maybe you can tell us a bit about that. I understood there has been some pressure.
Well, yeah, we've had a few groups of parents that have been picketing and they've been giving out flyers that not to attend this. And they're very mad about how could the National University could be supporting this event. And we knew it was going to come. We would have been amazed if it didn't. I have to say, though, Mexico City is very fast forward thinking. It doesn't represent the whole nation, unfortunately. But we knew that, you know, this city was the first one in Mexico to allow same-sex marriages, abortion, and, you know, that kind of rallied. So now people are more open and they try to understand. You've seen the gay scene here a little bit, and there's a lot of young people, and it's not something they can hide. They have a voice now. We just had political elections, and, you know, people are very politically influenced. They know they have a right to their voice, and thank God the internet works also for good things. And you know, we've seen it happen. So yes, we've had people that don't support us and don't want to see this, but at the same time, the response of the people is what kept us going. You know, so and your films.
That cell phone you heard ringing was Candida's ride to a screening. So unfortunately, she had to leave early. But this conversation continues once we pause for a word from our fantastic sponsors, including WeVibe, the world's best-selling couples vibrator. Go to we-vibe.com to find out all about it. Coming up, the feminist pornographer conversation in Mexico City continues on Sex Out Loud.
Streaming live, the leader in internet talk radio. VoiceAmerica.com.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning expert guide sex education series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
Looking to add something fun and different to your sexual experiences? Then try AstroGlide X, premium silicone personal lubricant. AstroGlide X contains a unique blend of high-quality silicones that provide a silky smooth experience unlike any other. AstroGlide X is also waterproof and perfect for water play. Not only does Astroglide X last longer than all water-based products and is hypoallergenic and latex safe, it's even great for massage. For more information and a free sample, visit astroglide.com.
This is Jennifer Pritchett from The Smitten Kitten. We're huge Tristan Taramino fans just like you, and we're so proud to be the presenting sponsor for Sex Out Loud. If you're not already familiar with Smitten Kitten, here's the deal. We're an education-based sex toys and supplies retailer. We sell high-quality, non-toxic, and artist-made sex toys, organic lubes, and all kinds of kinky stuff, including hard-to-find vegan options. We cater to an incredibly diverse clientele and specialize in helping you find new sexual interests, expand your sexual skill sets, and even troubleshoot sexual issues with you. We are here to help you feel confident and sexy. We spend a ton of time and energy curating our selection of products to make sure we have the best selection, be it silicone dildos, pegging and strap-on equipment, vibrators, or ethically made porn. Our mission is to make sex-positive culture accessible to everyone. Don't miss our free streaming explicit educational videos, many of which were directed by Tristan herself, on our website, smittenkittenonline.com. Get inspired by Tristan's amazing show, Sex Out Loud, and then visit us online at our Minneapolis location.
News. Opinion. Your voice counts. Call toll-free 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787. VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan@puckerup.com. That's Tristan@puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud. Today you're listening to a conversation recorded in Mexico City during the first ever film festival celebrating female porn directors. The conversation is between me, Jennifer Lyon Bell, Marit Ostberg, Ingrid Ryberg, Leandra Dahl, and festival programmer Abraham Castillo. In the various countries that we come from, I think there's an identifiable way to get the word out. There's a sex-positive community. And so if we're going to do a film festival or a screening, we know how to reach the queers, the progressives, and the sex-positive folks. And so I'm wondering, Abraham, how are you guys getting the big crowds that you're getting at these screenings without sort of a centralized way to identify who the sex-positive people are in Mexico City?
The first people who came to our side and helped us out quite a lot was the gay, queer, LGBT community. They were fantastic. They were the first ones who told us, you're not crazy. Everybody else told us we were crazy. There was even people who stopped talking to Marianne and me because we were doing this. We now know there's people that are used to be our friends that we're happy they're not our friends anymore. But they stopped talking to us. But it was the queer and lesbian community was very helpful to us. They started telling us, why don't you go see this person? Why don't you go see that person? They're okay. They kind of get it. And so they were really helpful for us. And little by little, we've been discovering this positive sex scenes that you, the sex scene that you were talking about. Beforehand, we knew it was there. We just kind of didn't know each other. It's a big city. You know, it's like more than 25 million people here. And it's, have you seen, it's very, you know, different section. There's like a gay section in the south, a little gay section in the north, maybe in the east. And it's not so well connected. But it was, you know, pushing and looking around.
Leandra?
I was just going to say, we have some similar issues in Australia if we ever want to arrange these kinds of functions, because we can't use the press because it's illegal to make porn in Australia. So it's all social networking and finding communities where everyone's going to help each other promote. So yes, I understand completely, like when your government is like thwarting you and making it impossible and your press can't help you, you have to rely on social networking.
One thing that I think it's important to mention, here in Mexico, pornography has one big issue on top of it. It's the kidnapping and illegal trafficking of women and of children. That's a big issue here. And most of the big media outlets, and there's two big journalists that have been making a lot of noise about this. And it is an issue. But when we were talking about bringing this festival, everybody attacked us, because they thought we were pushing the same thing. And our first argument was, not all porn is the same. And it's because it's not the same that we have to bring this.
You get this argument all the time that because there is like exploitative porn and trafficking in porn, that then therefore all porn is bad. But if you make the comparison with sex, like there is, you know, selfish, bad sex, there's rape, that doesn't mean all sex is bad and that everyone should stop having sex. Like it, the argument against porn because there's bad porn is not actually a logical one. And I see that that's what you guys are trying to get out there, and I think that's great.
My question was connected to what you said about that porn is forbidden in Australia. And I'm curious about what is the resistance. No, the resistance against porn in Mexico and in Australia. Like, what is the grounds to make it illegal in Australia? Is that religious?
The laws are old and they don't really match the population. So the population isn't that conservative. It's mostly a secular country. And most people watch porn. And so they're just laws that haven't been updated and they don't match up. But we do have these small, very loud Christian lobby groups that want to keep those laws in place that prevent us from making porn and importing certain kinds of porn. Ridiculously, porn that has small breasts apparently will make you think about children. But in still images, they will doctor a woman's vulva so that you can't see any of her labia if it comes out, so she actually looks more like a child, and they censor it that way. So the laws are completely illogical and they need updating and they need reform, but lobby groups are preventing that reform from happening.
Say here, things are very awkward in a way. On one side, there's this big explosion of sex. Suddenly there's like now a new chain of sex shops that they, you know, they're pink and designer. And that's also like, you know, very recent. And at the same time, we have religious groups that are, you know, against this. And then there's this big activism of abolitionists against porn that use the argument of trafficking and kidnapping, which is, we understand it exists. We don't deny it. We just want to make sure it's different. And I think we need to bring that to the people. So they have the choice and they need to be aware. It cannot be the government or a religious group that tells you what things you can do and what things you cannot watch.
This exact same thing is happening in the States, which is that there has been a big resurgence in anti-porn feminism, and they've gotten a lot of media attention. And as their message seemed to kind of fall on deaf ears, porn is bad, all porn is bad, one thing that some of them began doing was conflating it with trafficking. They knew that if they started out their press release talking about trafficking, they would get more attention, but they began conflating it as if, you know, the center of the porn world in the United States is the San Fernando Valley. And I'm here to tell you, no one is being trafficked in the San Fernando Valley, not in the porn industry. You know, they have workers' comp, they have, you know, testing procedures. I mean, it's a fairly well-organized and well-publicized industry. But I also think it's significant that there's been a lot of resistance to these kinds of festivals in the States. It's a very rare thing in the States to be able to go to a theater and see porn on the big screen and then talk about it. There's only a handful of festivals, and some of them have been shut down by local governments. And so I think that's what the bigger project for me here that was so obvious at my first screening was. These people who are here are not just here to support porn or see what it's all about. They want to have intelligent discussions about sexuality, and they want to do it in a community of people, and those venues just don't exist.
Yeah, I want to add to that, and I think this is also one of the important conclusions that I draw from my research, is that the public spaces, the public discussions, those environments are so important, and that really is central to the potential for empowerment of queer feminists and lesbian porn. It's not just about watching the film, that is great, but also to be in a context where you're encouraged to talk about sexuality and encouraged to explore your own sexuality, where we have these discussions. That is so important.
I'm wondering if everyone wants to share one of the most interesting questions they've gotten, either from the media, from a viewer who came to a question and answer session, or Ingrid, I'd also be especially interested in hearing. You're also an academic, you have your PhD, and so you've participated in one of the many academic panels that are happening simultaneous to some of these Q&A and these screenings. And so I'm wondering what the academics are saying about this.
last night I was at the Casa California, so which is connected to the university somehow. So a lot of alumni from that department were there. So it was interesting that a lot of people didn't know what to expect and what this was. But the audience was great, and they were cheering and applauding after each of the Dirty Diaries shorts. And I was so relieved that that started like right after the second film. And the questions were great. There was one question. I mean, you always tend to remember the strange questions. So there was this psychoanalytic therapist who was specialized in trauma, and she was kind of arrogant, and she came up afterwards. She didn't ask in the Q&A, but she came up afterwards, and she wouldn't even look at me. She looked at the woman who was organizing it and who was translating. And she thought that this film, Dirty Diaries, did not help people estimate queer or lesbian people more, or it's like it doesn't enhance the view on these people. And I was like, but who do you think this film is for, really? It's not at all about approval from someone else like you, you know. But aside from her, the people there were great.
Other interesting questions people want to share?
Well, this is a very different kind of story, but at the press conference, we'd given a whole lot of interviews, Ingrid and Marit and I, where they asked a lot of very intellectual questions about pleasure and activism and sexual culture. And then two young men came over to me, and they were a little bit nervous, and they said, there's a very important journalist here. He's from one of the biggest newspapers in Mexico, but we're going to need to translate for him. So basically, this very old man in a chair was there with a whole crew of young people who were going to help him translate the questions. So as he sat hunched over in his chair, he said something in Spanish to the translator. And his first question to me was, I am a man and I have a great deal of pornography in my apartment. Am I a pervert? At first I thought, have we gone completely off the rails here? But then I thought, okay, this is a legitimate question about pornography consumption and perversion and these issues. So I answered him quite seriously, and all the rest of his questions were very thoughtful, intellectual questions. So I realized that he was just being very creative.
I think the strangest question was the last question at the press conference, where a man asked us our private opinion about orgasm. That was a good one also. But I took it as a good chance to talk about like the politics in female orgasm.
And I think I just gave the thumbs up sign.
Yeah, like, yeah, it's great. But I actually wonder where that question came from.
I think it's another example too, though, of people wanting to ask questions about sex and assuming, okay, so you guys make porn, I can ask you pretty much anything, including these burning questions I've had in my mind for years.
But I got this question in my interview for the Marta's documentary today also. And then she referred to a survey. And I don't know if this is true, but apparently 80% of the Mexican women have never had an orgasm. Is this the case?
Yeah, unfortunately, that's the number that we had. So that's why we thought it was so important that we put this out.
Okay, this also provides context for my screening. So the film that they screened is The Expert Guide to Female Orgasms. And one of the people asked a question, which was, is this really what women look like when they come? And there were people in the audience sort of going, yeah, it is. And, you know, one of the things that I wanted to explain to him was there is a lot of sort of faking it in porn, and these are real, authentic female orgasms. And one of the reasons that I love the film is that everyone comes in a different way, and they weren't afraid to really let go and go there. So, you know, Madison Young is screaming at the top of her lungs. Adriana Nicole looks like she might burst into tears at any moment. Ivani is very quiet and shy. So I felt like it was, you know, it was this range of the ways that women express themselves sexually. But it seemed an odd question because I thought, have you not seen that many women have an orgasm? And now this seems like that explains that.
Yeah, I'm kind of shocked. I didn't never hear this before. No. But can this be true? Or
we hope not. But they also like that we were talking a lot about self-knowledge, of giving themselves just the chance of finding out what their bodies could do. And no, and I thought we really need to get the word out, because, and we kept talking about this in the interviews and everything. Porn can be a tool for self-knowledge. you need to explore yourself, give yourself the chance to find who you are, what you like and what you can feel. And then hopefully you'll be a better person to a partner. Otherwise, what are you doing?
We're all really shocked and I think a little sad that if that's anywhere near the case for women that seem so backwards, and yet this festival is so progressive and it's twinned with these cultural beliefs or constraints that just seem so much worse than where we're coming from. I mean, I come from the Netherlands, and I guess we kind of got it going on with regard to sexual education, you know, and that really makes me sad. I hope this festival then has, yeah, even more of a chance to make a difference that it seems like it could.
We're hoping it opens boundaries and it breaks down, you know, barriers. We don't have, you know, sex education here for kids. It's laughable. I mean, it's things to be ashamed of. And also, families don't talk about these things. But I do have to say, this younger generation, the one that used to the gay bars and everything, they're so active, and they're kind of realizing they have a different set of values to what they were taught, and that they're probably what they taught them was wrong. And they don't know what the good things are yet, but they know they have to find out. And we're just hoping that, you know, they can, as you say, that they can get something out of this.
I was shocked when I found out in my own culture in England and Australia that the rate of women that are pre-orgasmic is like 35%. But to hear that it's 80% anywhere is terrifying. So it's great that you've brought a porn film festival that have brought women making porn, because a lot of the porn out there that isn't made by women doesn't actually include female orgasm or the clitoris. So good for you.
I also have to add that, I mean, this is actually in Sweden, and with the Dirty Diets project, the same question came up. Is this what women look like when they have their orgasms? That's disgusting. Because Mia Engberg made a first short with this mobile phone camera called Come Together, where a group of women filmed their own faces while masturbating and coming. And when it was posted online, some of the comments were very negative, and people would say, oh, they're so ugly and disgusting, and they should have put on some makeup. So that was really the starting point for Dirty Diaries, was that Mia Engberg thought, okay, we really need more images of women as they represent their own sexual pleasure.
Well, and I think that's, you know, what I've always argued is there's also this sentiment in the U.S. that the only way that people learn about sex is from porn, and they learn bad things. Even fellow sex educators are big porn bashers. They're like, don't learn anything from porn ever, which again, I think we need to make distinctions. And certainly there are positive things that we can see in porn, in different kinds of porn. But the idea that porn can provide a language of fantasy that people don't have access to in any other media, in any other part of their lives, to say, wow, that turns me on. Wow, that turns me off. I might like to try that. I don't know about that. You know, all these, just to see a sort of diverse range of erotic expression and maybe see yourself in some of them, or see some inspiration that makes you feel less alone.
Well, I've even found I had that effect, like making porn. One of the first porn sites I worked for was about masturbation, which is sometimes more taboo than sex. And like seeing so many different ways that women could masturbate, the first thing I did was like go home and try them all, and then be like, what I was doing was not giving me the bigger orgasms, and what that girl was doing has just given me a multiple orgasm, and then I just squirted on my bed. Do you know what I mean? Like, I learned a lot from watching porn that had women in it in a positive way, that was actually with authentic female orgasms. I think it's important.
Yeah, I that's actually what I wanted to say also, that we are empowering ourselves all the time. That's a part of my work. I haven't been making porn for so many years, 4 years now, and I came to realize that the most important moments for me screening my films is these women telling me, wow, now I understand, I am allowed to enjoy myself and to be horny. And it's such a great feeling. And I guess this is all about, because I'm dealing with exactly the same questions myself. I'm doing this because I need to know my own body also. I listened to you when you were talking to the press yesterday, Tristan, and I think you do it in a very good way. You say, like, no, this is nothing that only exists in Mexico, this oppression. This is what we deal with all over the world. So this is very important.
I agree completely with what you said. And the false view of what female beauty looks like and female orgasm looks like isn't just in bad pornography. It's in popular culture. I mean, Hollywood movies, you know, most of the time what they're showing about what sex looks like, what women look like when they're having orgasm is so false. It's giving women a terrible idea of what it ought to take to get you to enjoy sex with a partner and what you can do to enjoy yourself. Or like music videos. I mean, I sound like, you know, an old woman criticizing music videos, but, you know, I'm very sympathetic to people who talk about the sexualization of culture, because I'm like, I don't understand what they're doing in those videos, because it's ostensibly about female sexuality, and yet I see no pleasure there. I think that good pornography, alternative or feminist, or just good pornography, can really help break apart these crystallized cliches and show us that, like, female beauty looks different. It looks very different than what we've been taught, and it's not just porn. Bad porn that gave us those messages. It's a lot of other places in the culture. And in a way, those messages, the ones from mainstream cinema and from music videos and from television ads, are just as damaging, or if not more damaging, and that good porn can actually be an antidote to those things.
I think porn is the scapegoat, the easy, easy scapegoat, because we're not afraid to be naked fucking on screen, you know, in front of people. So that's literal and metaphorical. So I think we're the easy target to say this is the sexualization of culture when, I mean, have you seen ads for perfume in women's magazines? Have you seen the Victoria's Secret catalog? Really? Because if everyone grows up thinking that's how they're going to look in Victoria's Secret underwear, I've got news for them. Let's take another break. Lingerie may be fun, but lube is even better. And Astroglide personal lubricants make sex better. Get a free sample. Go to astroglide.com to find out how. Stay with us. More Sex Out Loud when we return.
Stimulating talk gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast. All the time. The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
This is Jennifer Pritchett from The Smitten Kitten. We're huge Tristan Taramino fans just like you, and we're so proud to be the presenting sponsor for Sex Out Loud. If you're not already familiar with Smitten Kitten, here's the deal. We're an education-based sex toys and supplies retailer. We sell high-quality, non-toxic, and artist-made sex toys, organic lubes, and all kinds of kinky stuff, including hard-to-find vegan options. We cater to an incredibly diverse clientele and specialize in helping you find new sexual interests, expand your sexual skill sets, and even troubleshoot sexual issues with you. We are here to help you feel confident and sexy. We spend a ton of time and energy curating our selection of products to make sure we have the best selection, be it silicone dildos, pegging and strap-on equipment, vibrators, or ethically made porn. Our mission is to make sex-positive culture accessible to everyone. Don't miss our free streaming explicit educational videos, many of which were directed by Tristan herself, on our website, smittenkittenonline.com. Get inspired by Tristan's amazing show, Sex Out Loud, and then visit us online at our Minneapolis location.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning expert guide sex education series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at puckerup.com. That's Tristan at puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud. The conversation continues between filmmakers Jennifer Lyon Bell, Marit Ostberg, Ingrid Ryberg, Leandra Dahl, and film festival programmer Abraham Castillo. This was all recorded in Mexico City during the first ever film festival celebrating female porn directors. Abraham, have you and the organizers been surprised at the turnout and who has shown up to see these films?
One of our biggest goals was getting the women to come see this thing. But at some point, we realized also that one of the most important things would be for men, Mexican men, to see this, to watch, to realize the difference. At first, everybody, all my friends, what is this feminist porn? It's the same thing. And I said, just watch it and you'll understand. It's different timing. It's the different, you'll learn. I feel privileged of when Mariana first showed me the films and started, you know, getting me into the whole thing. I feel I was learning and I felt I had an obligation to pass that information along. Because as you said, there's all this cultural baggage we have of, you know, the patriarchy, macho thing being big here in Mexico. We need to break those things. And there is not enough information. There is not enough media production that helps you break down those things or makes you question. Just question. That was one of the things that excited me the most as a man to get on this project. It's like, we need, men also need to, and we are ready to hear it. It's not everybody's like, you know, just not wanting to hear it. So we thought it was very important.
And I would absolutely agree that male sexuality has been repressed in its own way as much as female sexuality has. And I think that's something that feminist porn and even lesbian porn can show men about how to be lovers rather than thinking that it's all about the penis. Like, there's so many other ways to fuck. I'll just leave it there.
When I started my little production company, Blue Artichoke Films, I did it because I was making the films that I wanted to see, but I also had women in mind. I thought, oh, women are the ones who will want to see this. And I've been shocked at how many men are interested in these kind of films. And sometimes I get emails from them or they come up and talk to me after screenings or at film festivals. And they, you know, some of them actually do watch porn, but they didn't know that there was an alternative where they would feel like the kind of masculinity being shown in alternative pornography is, first of all, much more familiar to them, like they understand it better, and much more positive to them. Like one guy said, well, I'm not a fuck machine, and I don't even really like the idea of being one, so I would prefer not to watch that. I'd like to see something where the two people are more interested in each other's enjoyment, because that's what I like to do in bed. And yeah, I might want to see that through a fantasy or whatever. It doesn't necessarily have to be realistic, but the core of it should be something that I can relate to about masculinity, and traditional porn doesn't always do that. So I've been really surprised at how many men are interested.
I agree with you. Of course, feminist porn should also be about men and men's education. And I'm happy that there are filmmakers like you, because I'm not interested at all to educate men. Well, I do my film for the community I belong to, because that's how I work. I work from my own lust and desire. But of course, there are also men that have been coming to me and saying, this means a lot to me. And of course, I'm happy about that. But that's not my driving force. So yeah, we are many different kinds of filmmakers here. And I think that's really great, actually.
I mean, this comes up a lot for me when I speak at colleges, that when I explain my sort of philosophy, inevitably a student raises their hand and says, why do you call yourself a feminist? Feminists are worried about women. You seem more like a humanist. For me, part of my mission is to redefine all these sort of gender stereotypes, because they're not useful to people and they don't represent how we really are. And we've got to see more representations of diverse male sexuality. And I feel like in the most obvious ways, for me, that includes men receiving anal pleasure, which is a, you know, a feature of many of my films, sometimes the entire topic. But I think that's the easiest one to sort of pinpoint as a way to represent a man as the penetrated, as the receiver of the pleasure, and as focused on something other than his dick. Well, we could go on for hours and hours, but we all actually have places to be because we have busy schedules. Besides all the fabulous sightseeing we've been doing, we've also been attending screenings and Q&As and academic lectures. And I know I have to go. I'm getting picked up in 20 minutes. Does anyone want to have any closing statements?
I do. I just want to say how glad I am that we all have such different work. It's really a privilege to see everybody else's work and to know that we're not being shoved into one box, that just because we're feminists or just because we're female filmmakers, that it's all got to look the same. I think there's a ton of diversity here. And I know we're all kind of hoping that more people will feel inspired to make more films. And I really want to see more diversity in those too.
Just for closing, we want to thank you guys for being here, for taking a chance on us, on believing in what we're doing. It's such a pleasure, really, to work this hard and then to finally see come true, see the people coming into the screenings, seeing, you know, older women, men that you wouldn't believe would come to these events, younger couples. And it just goes beyond our expectations. We really want to thank you because, you know, we know coming to Mexico sounds very exotic and the media doesn't help. And, you know, there's some of the things are true, but thank you. We know you're brave women in your work. It shows, but you know, you're also so charming and fantastic persons.
Well, we want to thank Mariana, Abraham, Luce, a team of volunteers who are not only volunteering, but they're wearing shirts in public that say porn on them. Okay. Which is another really important thing. Cause one of them's got to go to like the grocery store. Porn is a political statement. That's what the volunteer shirts say, which I loved when I arrived first. And we all want that shirt, so we're putting in our orders right now. But thanks to the organizers of this, I really feel like Mariana was right, that the time is now. We've seen that ourselves by who's shown up to these screenings and how they've talked about these issues. And I, for one, hope that the next time we come back to this film festival, there will be a Mexican female porn director represented. Thank you, everyone.
You can find out more about Candida Royale at candidaroyale.com. Jennifer Lyon Bell is currently finishing two new films, a trilogy called Silver Shoes and an erotic BDSM documentary following the story of a young Dutch feminist coming out as a submissive. Find out more at blueartichokefilms.com. Marit Osberg's latest film is Sisterhood, a documentary about making queer feminist porn. Ingrid Ryberg is a teacher and postdoctoral fellow at Stockholm University. Find out more about their work in Dirty Diaries at dirtydiaries.se. Leandra Dahl's website is leandradahl.com. And the website for the Mexico City Film Festival is ensemblehumedo.org. All of these links and more can be found at sexoutloudradio.com. Click on the link for episode resources. Tune in next week when my guests will be photographer and filmmaker Carlos Batz and model and performer April Flores, who will talk about their newest film together, April Flores World. Until then, I encourage you to keep the discussion going on facebook.com/asktristan, on Twitter at Sex Out Loud Radio, and in your own life, take some time to talk about sex out loud.
That's a wrap on today's show. Go to voiceamerica.com to listen to this and other episodes on demand or as podcasts. And make sure you come back next Friday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific, for Sex Out Loud with Tristan Taramino on Voice America Variety.